All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Kings chapter number 2 tonight. 2 Kings chapter number 2. And the scripture before us this evening is very early in the ministry of Elisha. We find a controversy here in the scripture that some folks have trouble dealing with. Normally, when folks have trouble dealing with something in Scripture, it comes from a lack of understanding of what really is going on. And I think we're going to find that to be the case of the Scripture that we're dealing with tonight. 2 Kings chapter number 2, let's read the verses that we'll be dealing with. We're going to pick up in verse number 23. It says, "And he went up from thence," talking about Elisha, having left Jericho, okay? "He went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood, and tare 42 children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria." So far, we have seen Elisha face different reactions from the different kinds of people. There were first the doubters. Remember the 50 sons of the prophets that they wanted to go search for Elijah, and they were afraid that the wind had the tornado had taken him, the whirlwind had taken him and thrown him on some mountain somewhere. And Elisha said, "You're not going to find him, but go ahead." And they came back and said, "We couldn't find him." He said, "Didn't I tell you?" And so he had to deal with the doubters first, and then there were the desperate. The men of Jericho looking to Elisha to help them with their bad water. We saw the miracle last week of the healing of the waters. Tonight we see Elisha meeting with the despisers, a group of what the Bible calls little children who came out of Bethel and mocked a man of God. Well, let's take a look at this. First of all, we see that this incident happened on Elisha's trip back to Bethel. Verse 23, first part of the verse, "And he went up from thence unto Bethel." See, after his healing the waters there in Jericho, that miracle, Elisha headed back to Bethel as the first place where he had traveled with Elijah as they began Elijah's last journey before his translation. Remember, it was kind of like a final tour of the prophet schools. And he was mentioned at each one of these places that he visited, except the Jordan River, of course, had schools of the prophet. They were in Gilgal when they began, and then they first went to Bethel, and then to Jericho, and then across the Jordan River where Elijah was taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. And we said that Gilgal, Bethel, and Jericho all had schools. Think of them as seminaries, because these sons of the prophets were studying. They were being trained by Elijah. Elijah took this farewell trip with Elisha before being taken up into heaven. And in Bethel and Jericho, the sons of the prophets came out to Elisha with the news that Elisha already knew. And that is that the Lord was going to take Elijah that day. And it's kind of like they thought they were revealing something to him that he didn't know already. But that's why he was sticking like glue to the man of God. Now from there, Elisha had returned alone to Jericho to wait for the doubters. Remember, he waited 3 days there while the 50 sons of the prophets were looking for Elijah. And last time we saw how the Lord used Elisha to heal the waters of Jericho for the city that was desperate for clean water. Now he's returning to Bethel without Elijah this time, and Remember, Bethel means house of God. Okay, and understand also that Bethel was the seat of the calf idol worship, which began back in the time of Jeroboam, king of Israel. That's way back in our studies, okay? Been a while since we saw Jeroboam, but back then, that's where it began at. And it was also a place where a group of the sons of the prophets still resided. It's believed that it was there as a witness against the idolatry of Israel. They say, you know, the idolatry was strong in Bethel, and Elijah said, well, we're gonna raise up some preacher boys here. And he was doing that very, very thing. We see that in verse 23 also it says, and as he was going up by the way. Now understand that it's a steep ascent from the plains of Jericho to the city of Bethel, which is at an altitude, I understand, of about 2,800 feet. And so it was a climb. His walk would have been along the main way that folks commonly traveled between these two cities. Wasn't a road like we think of roads, but it was the place traveled. Amen. It was, in effect, a road. Secondly, we see the incident that sparked the curse here. Verse 23 also says, there came forth some little children out of the city and mocked him. Now, the words little children to us might bring the idea of innocent little tykes that are just being silly. They're just out there. They really don't have any good sense. And they're playing, you know, and they're making fun of this preacher. And a lot of folks that think that's what's happened here believe that they were not deserving of the severity of what happens here. However, Solomon uses the exact Hebrew term about himself when he was crowned king of Israel in 1 Kings 3:7. This term, little children, what was the word that's translated in there, can be from little children right on up to really just pre-adult stage. In 1 Kings 3:7, when Solomon was crowned king, he says, and now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. That's how Solomon looked at himself. Same words, okay, that's translated little child there in 1 Kings 3:7. He says, I know not how to go out and come in. Now, we don't know what Solomon's age was at that time, but he was old enough to know that he was young enough not to know enough how to lead a nation. He knew that he needed some wisdom, and he was smart enough to ask God for wisdom, wasn't he? But he was old enough to know right from wrong. Other people of adult age are described with this same term elsewhere in the Bible. Remember his son, King Rehoboam? Remember Rehoboam went to listen to the old man? And the old man, you know, gave him counsel that he should have listened to, and he didn't. And he went to some young men, same term, little children, you know. It says that Rehoboam went and got their counsel and listened to their counsel instead. I mean, these guys weren't extremely mature, but they were mature enough to know the difference between right and wrong. Okay? And so in this account, then, we have some young people. I want you to think about this. In this time that we live in, we see gangs of young people on TV, don't we? I would say there's more than 42 here. 42 of them got eaten by the bears, mauled by the bears, we could say. So there had to be more than 42. But there were at least 42. And you think of them coming down the path, and Elisha going up to Bethel, and they probably talking among themselves. They get by him, they start yelling up at him, "Go up, thou bald man!" They were old enough to know right from wrong. They are old enough also to be outside the city on their own, away from their parents. Think about that. All right, these ain't, there's not little kids not little bitty kids. All right, so let's kind of put that out of our mind. They're little children, and that they're not really fully mature yet. All right. So these youths came from the city of Bethel, and they mocked Elisha as he proceeded onward to the city. And just the sheer number of these youths might have been one thing that caused them to have so much boldness against this man of God, don't you think? I mean, there were 42 plus of them, and they thought, man, let's have some fun with this guy. This is the man of God. We show him, you know, he don't follow our God no way. And, of course, they were children of idolaters. The word for mock that we find here is a rare one in the Bible. This is the first use of just four times that it's used, and it comes from a primitive root meaning to disparage. So it means to mock, to scoff, or to scorn. And so they were really making fun of the man of God. Now we see the nature of their mocking there in verse 23. So they mocked them and said unto him, "Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head." Sounds funny, doesn't it? I'm sure it sounded funny to them. But they were mocking the man of God. I understand that there's much to consider here. First, was Elisha really bald? I imagine that he must have been balding at the time. What appears to be the case is that he was, in fact, bald. And as he would live for another 50 years or so, he was probably bald long before normal time. We heard of premature baldness. Yeah. And, however, the term, think about this, the term bald head, we think of it as baldy, right? It's a term of contempt is what it is. Sometimes even applied to someone with a full head of hair. It would be the equivalent of calling somebody empty-headed. Okay, so it was they were implying that Elisha didn't know nothing. Yeah. The term "go up" seems kind of strange. The insult is in the word translated "bald head," but the word used for "go up" is given for a purpose. Think about it. He's on his way up to Bethel. And so, on the surface, it may seem that this is why they include "go up," but it doesn't explain anything about the derision. One would think that they would just yell "baldy, baldy" at him, but they yelled "go up, thou bald man." However, it was already known in Bethel that Elijah was to be taken up to heaven, and we know that. We saw this at the beginning of the chapter, 2 Kings 2:3. The sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he said, "Yeah, I know it. Hold ye your peace." So it was known by the sons of the prophets. No doubt the talk got around that Elijah was going to be taken up. And because of this, these children seem to be mocking Elisha, who was left behind while his master, Elijah, has been taken away. In fact, their insults are directed toward Elisha as well as the Lord whom he represents. After all, the Lord is the one who established Elisha in Elijah's place. And I want you to think of their chant here, "Go up, thou bald head," as an organized attempt by children of idolaters in the city here to discredit Elisha and to really wish that he was gone right along with Elijah. They were probably glad to be gone, rid of Elijah, don't you think? I mean, Elijah had caused great problems with the idolaters. Remember how he slew the prophets of Baal there on Mount Carmel? And so, no doubt they were glad to be rid of Elijah, the one who had destroyed those prophets of Baal in times past, and they were ready already to get rid of Elisha. Now we see Elisha curse these children in the name of the Lord. There in verse 24, it says, "And he turned back and looked on them." Okay, he's headed up. They went by. They started hollering at him. He turns around, makes eye contact with them. Okay? The word for turned means he faced them. It was a turning of his face with purpose. These young people were behind him at this point. Possibly, they got by him or were even following him, chanting this as they were kind of chasing him onto the city, so to speak, while he was walking. Now, it's as if they were deriding him because Elijah was now gone, and they were trying to intimidate him from his purpose. His purpose was to go and to probably let the sons of the prophets that were there in the prophet school, let them know that Elijah has gone and the Lord did take him up. I mean, they knew that the Lord had that in mind. And we remember that Elijah was not popular with the idol worshipers. Now, Elijah could have just kept walking, and he could have just muttered something under his breath at them and just paid them no mind, couldn't he? Yeah. Sometimes we just choose to ignore people that, that's just people, right? Sometimes we do. Not very often. we got to get our words in, don't we? Unfortunately, that's the way our flesh is. But Elisha had a word from the Lord. I want you to understand this. This was not something that he did on his own. He decisively turned and he looked at them and he pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. Now understand that Elijah didn't curse at them, but rather pronounced a curse on them. There's a difference. Get that difference, okay? He didn't curse them with curse words. He just, what he did is he just pronounced what the Lord had for them. The Lord had revealed it to him, and he was just telling them what they could look forward to. And it happened pretty quickly. And the word curse can have several meanings. One is to inflict a curse. Kind of like a witch putting a spell on somebody. That would be... This would be what the Lord did when he cursed the ground at the fall of man, though. If he liked to curse, he cursed man. Then another is to wish for a curse upon another. And the third is to pronounce a curse in this name of the Lord, which is what Elijah did. It was not him cursing these young children. It was the Lord. He was just foretelling a punishment which the Lord had determined to inflict. And this came from the Lord, not from Elisha. Get that. So Elisha was just the messenger boy. Don't get upset with him. He's just the messenger boy. Elijah foretold a special curse from the Lord, which would be inflicted by the Lord. And the curse made the catastrophe that came in the latter part of this verse a certain thing. It was going to happen. When God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Well, we see the word of the Lord, that is the curse, fulfilled. Latter part of verse 24. There came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tear 40 and two children of them. Just came out and mauled them. The word translated children here is not the same as the previous word. And the word here indicates something born, not specifically a certain age. Each of us, think about it, every one of us are children tonight. You're children of your parents. Let's think about it in that case, and that's the word that is used here. In other words, this punishment was not merely inflicted upon the youths, but on the parents of these children as well. You think about the parents would have to deal with the loss, right, of their child. Well, the loss of their child is a direct result here of how they raise their children. That's what it's getting at here. They had raised their children in a manner contrary to the way of the Lord, and so the punishment came indirectly upon them. I'm talking about the parents, as they're irreverent attitude toward him, which was directly visited upon the children. And so the curse of the Lord is the principal cause of the carnage here. You know, the bears were just the instruments that the Lord used. Yeah. And then last of all we see here, we see Elijah go to Mount Carmel and then to Samaria. Verse number 25, he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. Mount Carmel, of course, is the place where Elijah had defeated the 450 prophets of Baal and then slew them there. And that's the only time that Carmel was ever mentioned in connection with Elijah's ministry. And it is to the place of that high point that in the prophet's career that Elisha next journeyed to. Carmel means fruitful field. I don't know why he went up there. Doesn't tell us. But it is with these seemingly anticlimactic words that both the passage and the chapter end here. Elisha returned to Samaria where he would take up the duties of Israel's main prophet in the place of Elijah. The Lord has established him now, right? I mean, he has dealt with the doubters. He has dealt with those that had the need of him to do something for them, the desperate, and now he's dealt with the despisers. And so, it's very clear from what we see here that he is a prophet of the Lord. So, what's the bottom line? Well, God took seriously the mocking of his prophet Elisha. Why? You know, we're not told, but it could have had something to do with the fact that it was an establishing of Elisha's authority early in his ministry. I mean, just imagine that the Lord didn't do anything. They'd have felt free to mock him any time. And he's going to be at Bethel on a regular basis because of the school of the prophets. And so, I think it had to do with establishing Elisha's authority. And, you know, Elisha, here we see the Lord was with him as well as he was with Elijah. And the people of Israel, the idolatrous people of Israel, probably noticed that Elijah was gone. They were probably rejoicing at that, don't you imagine? I mean, he caused so much grief in their community. And now he's gone. But the Lord cut that rejoicing short. They wanted to rejoice in that he was gone, but hey, there's still another man of God here. So when he goes to Samaria, Elisha possesses his own home there. We'll find out in 2 Kings 6:32 that he's got a home there. And of course, the name Samaria means place of watching. It's Watch Mountain. He's going there to watch what goes on in Israel and to be God's spokesperson for the Northern Kingdom. All right? That's our Bible study for this evening. We'll cut off there. Pick up in chapter number 3, Lord willing, next week. All right? Let's pull out our prayer list. We'll pray for the needs, and we'll be dismissed with this prayer.